is Michael Dixon a better punter than Earl Thomas is a safety?
That's correct.
Right. So that's like me asking, is Jeffrey Cooperstein a better Fortnite player
than
Dirk is a basketball player?
I'm very bad at Fortnite, so...
Podcast.
Welcome everyone. It is Friday, September 28th. This is Can I Get a Podcast? I'm Jeffrey Cooperstein alongside my good friend and co-host Chris Gross. Christopher, it was quite a week in the Big 12 this week.
Yes, and we're gearing up for what looks to be another big weekend in the Big 12, but we had a couple big games this past weekend.
There were games that made some national headlines.
Yes, and let's start with Texas's win over TCU. Big win.
Big win for the Longhorns and for half of Can I Get a Podcast.
That was, you know, Tom Herman really needed this win.
He did. After the Maryland and Tulsa game, I would say the Texas fan base was not exactly happy with Tom Herman and his staff, but... No matter how bad USC is, they beat them pretty good, and they beat TCU pretty good, and it gives people some confidence in Tom Herman going forward.
It's crazy because that game completely, just from my perspective, at least from what I see, turned around the fans' view of the season so far.
No doubt. It was a very disappointing season up to the Tulsa game. I think USC gave people a little bit of confidence, like, okay, maybe we can do this. And then they went in and they beat a team who was supposedly better than them. And I think things are feeling good. They have a really tough test this week at Kansas State. No matter how bad Kansas State is, Texas hasn't won there since 2002. And you never know what can happen on the road in the Big 12. So.
Yeah, and this game, good win obviously for Texas, boosted them into the rankings. And just a bad two-game stretch for TCU.
Not good.
Two games where you could have and should have won the game. But when you are down...
They should have won the game.
Which game are you asking
The
about?
Texas game.
When you... All stats are pretty much similar, except the only difference is that one team turned the ball over 4 times and the other team didn't, and it was still close at the end. When you turn the ball over 4 times and it's a 1-score game, to me that says you should have won the game.
Well, it was a 2-score game, first of all.
At the end, yes, it was.
And how about in the first couple of possessions where they didn't get in the end zone when they had 1st and goal at the 5 and they kicked field goals instead?
What, you can't convince me that a team who wins the turnover battle for nothing should at one point only be ahead by 1 score.
You don't think Texas was the better team on the field?
I think Texas on the field on Saturday night.
They were the better team.
Because I think TCU has better talent than Texas does. Texas was the better team on Saturday night.
Hot take.
Not really. There was a NFL scout who said there were 5 players on the Texas roster who would start for TCU.
Hot take.
I don't think that's very hot of a take.
I think that's a very
I think
hot
what
take.
Happened on Saturday night is you have a young quarterback who makes a couple really bad decisions. You can't give... Against a team like Texas, I'm not trying to say Texas is a bad team. Texas is a good team. When you play a team like Texas or a team like Ohio State,
you can't turn it over.
When you gift them points,
you're going to lose.
And that to me is not an indicator of, okay, that means TCU has less talent. That means Texas played mistake-free football.
I don't know if TCU has less talent. I don't know if they unequivocally have more talent. But we're going down a rabbit hole here. We can save this discussion for later off air.
Yeah. So, big win for Texas. That was one of the big games over the weekend. Another one, man. How about Texas Tech?
Really surprising.
Going into Stillwater,
beating the brakes off them.
A 24-point victory, 41-17 over Oklahoma State. This was a team that the week before, going into a game against Boise, you were like, "Yeah, Oklahoma State's good, but." I don't really know. Boise's a really good team. And, dude, they shut
Boise
down.
Oh, yeah, they killed
down.
Boise.
Oklahoma State going into the team, I believe, leading the country in sacks. Their defense had played well so far, and Texas Tech just tore them apart.
And I think what the most surprising part about that game is that Texas Tech, of all people, are playing some defense now.
And that was...
Dude, like, where does that come from?
See, remember, coming into the season, I believe they had more players on the all-Big 12 preseason team than any other team in the Big 12 did.
Yes.
And so we saw that, and you're like, okay, we saw a little bit of that last year. It kind of fell apart at the end of the season. But in the beginning of the season, yeah, we were saying, okay, where's this Texas Tech defense that everybody was talking about? This was a marked change from a team that we saw week one getting blown out by Ole Miss. This is a completely different team that we saw.
And I'll fully admit it. I think I had Tech 8th in the Big 12 in my preseason rankings.
Yeah.
That's not looking too high right now. And, you know, Cliff Kingsbury's coaching for his job this year. We all know that. So that was a really big win for Tech. There was another good game that shouldn't have been a good game in the Big 12 this week, and that was Oklahoma and Army. The game was on pay-per-view, Chris.
Yeah.
Who puts games on pay-per-view?
Okay, I did not know this. Good friend of the podcast, coworker here, Taylor Phillips,
yes.
Oklahoma fan, told
yes.
me they do one of these a year.
Yes, they do one a year. Why does the University of Oklahoma have to do one a year, one pay-per-view game a year?
Does any
it's $55.
Other... Okay. I don't know of any other school that does this.
People used to do it about a decade ago.
Right.
And then you had things like Watch ESPN, ESPN3, Fox yeah. Sports Go, all that come up, where every game could be televised. And I,
right.
Yeah.
I guess, so Texas has a game a year on the Longhorn Network.
Two games a year.
Two games a year.
Yes. One conference game and one non-conference game.
But that, I feel like, is pretty accessible. That comes with most sports packages,
yes, yes.
I feel like. Putting a game on pay-per-view is ridiculous.
It's stupid.
And going in, you were like, here's what I would have said if I was an Oklahoma fan. You're playing Army, and it's $55.
No,
don't need to spend
don't
the money.
Need to spend that.
Don't need to spend the money.
Turns out, would have been worth the money.
So what happens here is Army... Okay, I'm trying to remember what happened late in the game. They got the ball.
Army had the ball in Oklahoma territory with about two and a half minutes left. They threw an interception.
Yes.
They go into overtime.
So they had game was tied.
21-21.
Army got the ball to start their drive with like 9-10 minutes left in the game.
Chewed all the clock.
And there were people, like, I hadn't paid any attention to this game, and they're like, Army's just going to run out these 10 minutes, and they're going to win the game at the end. Now, they did throw the interception, and see, this is where Oklahoma, you beat Oklahoma by keeping them off the field.
Absolutely.
The overtime was against Army because Oklahoma was guaranteed
they couldn't stop them.
A spot.
No.
Yes, they weren't stopping the Oklahoma offense. How they were winning the game is because of that, the time of possession, and
absolutely.
I'm looking up right here. Army had possession of the ball for 44 minutes and 41 seconds.
That sounds like Army.
You had possession for 3/4 of the game. And that's how you kept Oklahoma, to only 21 points in regulation because you kept them off the field.
I think it's kind of karma that the game was on pay-per-view and that they barely won. So I'm going to chalk that one up to the football gods.
I'm a big, and we've talked about it here, it's best for the conference if your teams win.
Dude, Oklahoma to lose that game.
I low-key was rooting for Army.
You had to be.
Because that is such a weird and a strange game.
I was in a Chili's in Round Rock coming back from the Texas TCU game. I had my phone up there. I was trying to find the game. Lo and behold, there's a guy on Twitch that is streaming.
Yeah.
Did you see this?
I didn't watch it when it was happening,
but
I saw the story about it.
So for those of you that don't know, there was a guy on Twitch who was streaming the game. Twitch is a streaming website. And he was doing his own commentating, and it was hilarious. I think at one point he had like 28,000 viewers on the stream. It was awesome.
Low-key illegal, but...
Highly illegal, yes. Yeah. I'm surprised that whoever had those rights to that game isn't going after him, but, you know, it was cool to watch it that way.
So let's just go... We'll close out our college segment here going through some of these stats. It's Can I Get a Podcast? He's Jeffrey Cooperstein. I'm Chris Gross. So Oklahoma only had 3 third downs.
Ooh.
Completed 1... of 3 third downs. Only 1 fourth down for Oklahoma. Passed the ball 15 times.
Oklahoma
threw the ball 15 times.
Oklahoma threw the ball 15 times.
Yes. They ran the ball 25.
So they only had
think about that.
40 plays?
Yeah. Now let's move to Army.
I know Army had like 78 rushes or something like that.
Army attempted 9 passes.
Unreal.
78 rushing
78.
Attempts.
That's how you, dude, that's how you beat a team. I'm sorry, it is. If you're coming in, if you're Army and you're coming into this game, that's how you're thinking you're going to beat them.
So you attempted the ball, you attempted rush 78 times. They got almost four and a half yards per rushing attempt. To me, that is crazy. So their quarterback, I'm seeing 3 of 8 for 40 yards and 2 interceptions.
Maybe that's how
that's why they don't throw.
Maybe that's how Kansas can compete in the Power Five is just run the triple option and beat Texas.
I don't know, man. I think their way to compete in the Power Five is to play Rutgers.
They beat the brakes off Rutgers.
Kansas losing this weekend as well. I guess we can mention that. Baylor savors those Kansas games
nowadays.
Big win for Matt Rhule. But that is our college football segment. Some big games coming up in the Big 12 this weekend, and I'm pulling up the schedule here. Coming up in Week 5, we've got West Virginia, Texas Tech.
That turns into a pretty good game.
That's an 11 a.m. kick.
That's
in
Lubbock,
really
right?
Good. Yes.
You know what?
Yes.
11 a.m. kicks in Lubbock don't typically go well for that road team.
No, they don't. And if you think back, it was back when West Virginia was playing really well. I think Geno Smith was the quarterback. They went into Lubbock. It might have even been an 11 a.m. kick, and they lost.
It happened.
They got trounced.
It just happens.
You got Oklahoma State. They'll pick up a win over Kansas.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Yes, me too.
Oklahoma will get a big home win against Baylor.
Woo!
And then your other afternoon game, Texas in Manhattan to take on Kansas State.
Texas is the better team, but like I said, they have not won there since I was 6 years old. I'm nervous. I'm not going to lie. I'm nervous.
And TCU at home against Iowa State. That's a 6 o'clock kick.
Iowa State ain't bad, but TCU's better.
We'll see. They're on the fringe right now.
Yeah.
You gotta play well this week to show me.
You do. Absolutely.
But that's our college football discussion. We're going to take a break here on Can I Get a Podcast. When we come back, we are going to talk some Dallas Cowboys football. Things looking cloudy. We got some rain clouds around the Star. Talk about the issues plaguing the Cowboys. That's coming up next. We're back here. Can I Get a Podcast? He's Jeffrey Cooperstein.
Hello.
I'm Chris Gross. We got to talk about the Cowboys.
Been a rough 3 weeks.
It has been. It's gloom and doom for the Cowboys. Things have not been good. Things have not been good for the Cowboys. This week against the Lions it's going to be a make or break week. You've got Detroit coming into town. It's a noon game.
Number one pass defense in the NFL.
Yes. The Lions defense, they played Tom Brady and the Patriots last week. Tom Brady threw for 133 yards. Jeffrey, do you know who has thrown for the most yards against the Lions this year?
I'm going to go ahead and say that's Jimmy Garoppolo.
It is. He threw for 206 yards. So that's the most yardage that the Lions have allowed so far this season.
That's pretty good.
Do they get this next week? They get Dak Prescott, who has yet to break the 170-yard barrier.
Yeesh.
Which is not good.
That's not good.
Looked up the stats a little bit earlier. The guy who's gotten the most targets of anyone on the Cowboys offense is Zeke.
That's also not good. It's good in a way.
I think it goes more to, for whatever reason, this group of wide receivers is not working. And Zeke is your best player. They made an emphasis on wanting him to be a part of the passing
game.
And
that's great. Zeke should get involved. They should get involved in the passing game. But I think that's also a bad indication that where they think their wide receivers are right now.
No, you're absolutely right. Look, don't get me wrong. I think Cole Beasley is a piece on a good team. He can't be your best piece on a really good team.
When your two outside receivers, your two big target outside receivers, have less than 10 receptions combined over 3 games, that's not a good sign that things are going well for an offense.
And you know what? This is an offense that has shown they can have explosion. Obviously, when you have Zeke, you can explode. We saw the play with Tavon Austin, the 64-yard touchdown pass.
They have it. It hasn't come out yet. And I think some of that has to do with the offensive line. Travis Frederick not being back hurts the team a lot.
Do you put blame on Dak?
Absolutely. I think there's a blame to go around everywhere. The offensive line hasn't been as good as they normally have been. Obviously, Dak hasn't been good. He hasn't been very accurate. He won't throw the ball down the field. And I think he won't throw the ball down the field by design at some points, because I don't think the offensive game plan is to let those weapons go down the field.
Not what you think they'll do this weekend. I'm asking you, what should the Cowboys do? Should the Cowboys, over under, should Zeke have over under, we'll go 30 touches? Including rushes and...
Yes, he should have over, because I think he should have over 20 carries.
Over under 35 touches.
That's getting a little much. That's just a lot to put on him.
He's a guy who has about 6 targets a game.
Right.
So
if he should get about 22 to 25 carries.
Yeah, yeah.
And then add the rest of receptions.
This is a team, though, that he may need like 30 rushes for this team to
effective win. Rushes.
Yes.
You can't have those losses. And like again, Zeke is by far the best player on this offense. But I mean tackles for losses and I mean, negative plays are going to happen. You just have to be able to recover from it, and that's something the Cowboys haven't been able to do.
We saw the issues that they had against the Seahawks. When they showed that they were not going to be able to pass effectively...
That's when you knew it was over, because yeah. The Seahawks would just cram 8 or 9 in the box, and the Cowboys would have no chance.
And Zeke only getting... 18 rushes.
That's inexcusable.
And part of it goes to the ineffectiveness of this offense. Is, I believe, and I think Jean-Jacques Taylor talked about that this week on 103.3 FM ESPN. Zeke is getting something like 34-35% of the touches in the offense, which is what you want with a guy like that.
Right.
But the issue is, this offense is just so stagnant. There's so many 3-and-outs.
They need to get him the ball more.
Yeah. And I think, and Jeffrey, correct me if you're wrong, or if I'm wrong, sorry.
I'm always wrong.
No matter what, you have to feed Zeke.
Yes.
I think that's all how this offense
works. You have
works.
To literally force it down his throat.
Even if your passing game is not working, Zeke has to get the ball. I don't care what the passing game is doing. Even if you're down, Zeke is your best offensive player.
With, like, by a long shot.
Who is the second best skill player on this team?
Tavon Austin. And I think that's really sad that I'm saying that.
Yeah. What if you include Dak in there? Quarterbacks, wide receivers, tight ends, and running backs.
I have no reason to believe Dak is the second best player on the offense right now.
Where does he fit? Like, offense not including your line.
What do
you
mean?
Zeke is one. So, among your wide receivers, running backs, tight ends, and quarterbacks.
He's among those groups. I mean, he's probably third.
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think Tavon Austin is the second best player on the offense. He's the most explosive, as we saw against the Giants.
You think Dak is better than Cole Beasley?
No.
Okay. That's what I thought, too. I don't know. You need the defense.
The defense has been good. They've shown up, and it's a real shame that the defense is playing at a almost championship level, and the offense is just nowhere to be found.
This is Can I Get a Podcast. He's Jeffrey Cooperstein. I'm Chris Gross. We're talking about the woes that are facing this Cowboys team. Looking back at the game, watching Earl Thomas play, I bet the Cowboys wish they had gone and gotten him.
I think they're having a little remorse right now.
You know what one of the issues is with this Cowboys secondary? Players cannot grab interceptions.
They can't grab the football.
Yeah.
And Earl Thomas is one of the best ever at doing that. For whatever reason, they're great in coverage, and when the football comes at them, they look like a deer in headlights, and it's unreal to watch.
Earl Thomas is one of the best.
Ever.
At his position.
Ever.
How good of a safety do you think he is?
He is a top 5 safety of all time.
Take off your Texas blinders.
He is a top 5 safety of all time.
Do you think he's better at what he does than Michael Dixon?
Michael Dixon's one of the best punters of all time, but he's only played 3 games, so I can't go there.
We're talking about Michael Dixon, former Texas punter. I don't remember when. Do you know where he was drafted?
Fifth round.
Fifth round by the Seahawks. Michael Dixon, the punter, Texas Bowl MVP, by the way.
8 punts inside the 20.
Dude is a beast.
He's an animal.
You know
what? He's an actual weapon for an NFL team.
He somehow has some kind of magical powers to make the football bounce out of bounds.
I don't know what he does to the football.
Did you see when he did the drop kick kickoff?
The kickoff, yes. Because that's his Australian background.
Oh, he's Australian, isn't he?
He is.
Is Earl Thomas better at being a safety than Michael Dixon is a punter?
Earl Thomas, when it's all said and done, is going to have double-digit Pro Bowl appearances and is going to have multiple All-Pro selections. Like I said, Earl Thomas is going into the Hall of Fame first ballot.
I think Michael Dixon's going to make the Pro Bowl like every year.
Oh, I mean, he's the best punter in the NFL.
So don't throw me out Pro Bowl stats.
It's 3 games in.
But you've watched him.
I've watched him, for 3 years. He was actually really bad his first year.
At Texas?
Yes. He shanked a few punts. There was one where Texas was up 1 against Oklahoma State. He was punting 10 yards deep in the end zone, and he punted it to the 20-yard line, and Texas lost the game.
20? From, like, their own 20?
Yes. So it was about a 20-yard punt, and Texas lost the game. So I've seen bad Michael Dixon, but obviously that's far gone. Earl Thomas is better at safety than Michael Dixon is at punter. That could change, but as of right now, it's not.
I think we found our topic for next week's podcast.
Who is better, Earl Thomas or Michael Dixon?
Tweet at us.
Please. At jcoop, JR27.
At Chris is gross, KRI, KR, ooh.
What is it?
KRISISGROSS. We'll edit that out of the podcast.
Okay.
That's a little embarrassing. Tweet us. Who do you think is better? Now, I'm not asking. I got to clarify. I'm not asking who is a better football player.
Right.
I'm asking, is Michael Dixon a better punter than Earl Thomas is a safety?
That's correct.
Right. So that's like me asking, is Jeffrey Cooperstein a better Fortnite player?
I'm bad at Fortnite.
Then Dirk is a basketball player.
I'm very bad at Fortnite, so I don't think I am.
But I had to give an equation there. So we'll see what the Cowboys can do this weekend against the Lions. Tough bout going against a Lions defense that has been really good so far this year. Lucky they don't have to play Earl Thomas. Very lucky they don't have to play Michael Dixon again.
They don't want to see Dixon on the field.
No, they don't. And see, you didn't say they didn't want to see Earl Thomas.
They definitely don't want to see Earl Thomas.
Do you think the Cowboys after this game want to trade for Michael Dixon?
That would be awesome, but the Cowboys probably have the second best punter in the league in Chris Jones.
He's nowhere near Michael Dixon.
Not even close.
We're going to close things out here on the podcast like we always do. It's the 24-second shot clock. Here's how it works. You get 24 seconds on the clock to talk about whatever you want. It doesn't even have to be sports-related. It can be whatever you want, but when you hear that buzzer, that 24 seconds is up, you're done, and we move on to the next one. So, Jeffrey, why don't you give us your 24-second shot clock?
The Mavericks start preseason tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be a really fun year. We've said that before on this podcast. It's finally here. Offseason's been a really long time. We finally get to see Luka Doncic in a Mavericks uniform play basketball. And I think that's really exciting.
Luki Donko, yes. Luki Donko suiting up for the Mavericks.
For those who don't know, Chris's lovely wife, Ashley, called Luka Doncic Luki Donko, and that is his new official name on Can I Get a Podcast.
Yeah, so from here on out, we're not even going to call him Luka Doncic anymore.
He's Luki Donko.
It's Luki Donko. Dude, I heard Doncic playing tomorrow.
Yes, the starters are going to play tomorrow, except for Harrison Barnes, who is nursing a hamstring injury, and Dirk, who is still recovering from his offseason foot surgery, but Dirk is also not a starter.
Just a heads up, if you are listening to this podcast, we are recording here on Friday. If you're listening to the podcast before Saturday night, you can actually hear that game, Mavs and Beijing Ducks. Your first listen at Luki Donko. You can hear it on 103.3 FM ESPN. Mike Peasley on the play-by-play coverage.
He is.
That's gonna be a fun listen. So move on here to my 24 seconds, Jeffrey. And I'm going to kind of do things a little different here. I'm going to turn off the 24 seconds. I just want to talk a little bit.
Go ahead.
So this week I lost a friend. My buddy from college, Phil Taylor, passed away. He was a guy I did actually my first radio show with.
Oh, wow.
He was one of my co-hosts. And 25 years old, had stage 4 cancer. And I just wanted to bring this up and say, you know, you never know what's going to happen in your life. Things can get crazy. Things can get bad really fast. And this was a almost 2-year battle with cancer for Phil. And I just wanted to tell the people there, you know, hey, you never know how much time you're going to have with somebody. You know, make that time special. Hey, if you haven't talked to your parents in a while, call up your parents.
Always just call your parents.
Call your mom, call your dad right after you're done listening to this podcast. It's something that's very important. And just a quick note, kind of tying this into sports, Phil was a walk-on on the TCU football team.
Very cool.
He got his one catch against Iowa State on senior night. Very cool. The team will be honoring him this weekend. So if you don't have a team you're watching, you don't have any kind of game of interest in that 6 o'clock slot, turn on the TCU game and you'll see those helmet stickers and just kind of give that a look, give that a listen.
Prayers to Phil and his family.
Yes. And again, we just can't imagine what they're going through. But Jeffrey, that is my 24 seconds kind of going over there. But we're going to close out the podcast a couple ways you can listen. First of all, you can head on over to KESN1033.com. Again, things different now. Click on the top, click on podcasts, click on Can I Get a Podcast? We've got our entire feed of previous episodes there. You can listen to them all.
You think the Cowboys are going to die?
That is referencing one of our podcasts where what would happen in sports if champions were just killed right after they won? I don't think that's going to happen to the Cowboys this year.
What about the Longhorns?
No Longhorns.
Okay.
Is Michael Dixon walking through that door?
His cousin is the punter.
Wait, really?
Yeah, they signed his cousin. His cousin is the punter at Texas now.
What's his first name?
Ryan.
I will be following his career.
He hasn't been great lately, but we'll see.
I will be following his career. So you can listen to our old episodes there. Also, head on over to Apple Podcast, search Can I Get a Podcast? And we've said it. You leave us a review, we will read it on air. Jeffrey, sadly, no reviews today.
Wow.
No reviews to read. I really want to go back and read Grant, right?
Yep.
Read Grant's from last
Grant,
week.
Grant wasn't very nice to me, but that's okay.
No new ratings. Leave a 5-star rating. Leave a review. We'll read it here on the podcast. But Jeffrey, we can only do so much to get the word out there. What do other people
need
to do?
That's correct. If you listen to this podcast, even if you don't, you should tell your friends and your cousins, aunts, uncles, and Chris. Who else?
Those ex-wives.
That's by far the most important person.
You have to tell the ex-wife.
Anyone else will be okay with, but yeah, the ex-wife is mandatory.
That is a must. Jeffrey, where can people find you on the interwebs?
I can be found at jcoopjr27 on all social media platforms. What about you?
Chris is Gross, KRISISGROSS. I got it right that time. Beautiful. Remember, tweet us your Michael Dixon versus Earl Thomas debate. Tweet us your thoughts. We need to hear.
We
need to know. Send us your thoughts there. And that's going to do it. We will be back next week to talk more about Michael Dixon right here on the official fan podcast. Can I Get a Podcast? Goodbye.
Okay, thanks.